7:05, let's head to New Zealand. Selwyn Manning, g'day.
Yeah, g'day, Peter.
Good morning.
How are things?
Good. Oh, sorry, I'm still laughing at that story. I don't know. Not really related to ghosts, but a good one anyway.
Yeah, it's a good one. Well, we've got a few over this side of the Tasman, but I won't bore you with them all, Peter.
Oh, okay.
There's quite a few.
I bet there is. All right, let's get on to other stories. Starting up, the New Zealand government swore in your new Governor-General yesterday, but a little bit of controversy over the appointment?
Yeah, there is. The Governor-General, the new Governor-General just sworn in, is Lieutenant-General Sir Gerry Matapara. And he has had a distinguished military career, rising to the top of the New Zealand Defence Forces in most recent times. It was a surprise appointment in many ways, because there was controversy around his role in leading the New Zealand Defence Forces during a time where it was found that highly pointed personnel were not who they seemed, that their CVs were doctored, that their experience had been by the individuals themselves as opposed to the Lieutenant General, had been inflated and basically were active fictions in some cases. There was also a WikiLeaks report that indicated that the Defence Force had a highly placed spy or mole, if you like, where the United States Embassy had made reference to this individual in one of its cables back to the mothership in Washington, and saying that the contact that it had and highly placed in the Defence Force had been leaking information, classified cabinet information, to the United States Embassy. That was never, ever publicly examined or investigated by the current New Zealand government as to identify who that was. We're not suspecting that was the Lieutenant General, but it was under his tenure that these types of things arose. But most recently, which has caused concern for many, is highlighted in an editorial by Metro Magazine that is out this month in September, where the editor of Metro, Simon Wilson, he makes a note in there that New Zealand is about to get a New Zealand Governor General, Lieutenant General Sir Gerry Matapara, who has had a distinguished career. Just how distinguished, however, we still do not know, because for the past 4 months he has been kept out of public sight. And he asks why, and he said because investigative journalist John Stevenson's story that revealed details of how apparently our military was complicit in our SAS up in Afghanistan was complicit in breaches of the Geneva Convention. And this was over an issue that was reported in the investigative article by John Stevenson that was highlighting how the New Zealand SAS had been handing over people that had detained up in Afghanistan to US and Afghan forces allegedly knowingly, that they would likely be tortured.
Mm. How much of an impact is this likely to have on his position as governor?
Well, for the first time in recent memory, we have a Governor-General who has this cloud over him, where sectors of the community will have no respect in him personally. Gerry Matapara, the new Governor-General, in his speech yesterday when he was sworn in, he was very humble in the way he went, and there's a part of the speech where he says, over the next 5 years, I want to take the opportunity to meet and talk with as many New Zealanders as I can. There are many people who recognise me from my time as Chief of Defence Force. Still more will have no knowledge of me. And then he goes into sight Sir Edmund Hillary, he's saying, in some ways I believe I epitomise the average New Zealander. I have modest abilities. I combine these with a good deal of determination. I rather like to succeed. So he's obviously aligning himself to Sir Edmund Hillary's stamp on life and his mode of living. So it remains to be seen. I mean, he obviously is dedicated to get out into the Pacific, what we refer to as the realm of New Zealand, which includes islands like Niue, the Cook Islands, Tokelau, and other small island states in the Pacific, where New Zealand has an administrative role in their livelihoods and progress. He's intending on going over, like his predecessor, Sir Anand Sachinan, who also did this. This cloud, it does exist over the top of him, and I know when he received recently an honorary doctorate from one of the universities, a sizable protest was held there where people stood up and turned their backs when he received his, his honorary doctorate.
Oh, okay. A very rocky road, or rocky start to that that term.
Yes, it certainly is. Yes.
All right. On to other serious issues. The New Zealand Earthquake Commission is having to face earthquake claims much higher than was first thought, and that's going to have a pretty major impact on the government's deficit in an election year.
Yeah, that's right. The New Zealand Earthquake Commission, Peter, it initially calculated the cost of the Christchurch or Canterbury earthquakes at around about $4 billion. Now, and that was the original government estimation. Now, that is blown out this week to $7.1 billion. The finance minister, he was put in a position where he had to go public with all of this early in the week, and where he said quite clearly the scale of residential damage from the February 2nd, 22nd earthquake has been much worse than initially thought. He also said that, for example, it was initially thought 12,000 houses would be drawing a cost of around more than 100,000 in damage each, but that has blown out to 30,000 houses. So the damage to, and also the damage to the land, was initially estimated around $300 million to $600 million. Okay. So that's gone up to $1.8 billion. So all of these types of things going on top of what was a calculation in the New Zealand budget this year in May. So when you've got something that's blown out by more than, you know, almost double, it's certainly going to alter the government's ability to manage under that particular budget, and one would expect that there would be a mini budget that comes out at some stage to try and actually manage their, or govern their way through this.
Before the election?
Well, they're going to, you know, they're going to run out of money again pretty quickly if they, if they're going to have, because the government's going to have to underwrite a lot of this this extra. The Earthquake Commission is like a ring fenced kind of coffer, if you like, that out of New Zealand taxpayers' funds gets put across. So it's like a very small levy that has been going for years and years and years. Now, that built up to around $6 billion, from what I understand. And, of course, this has gone over that limit. And the government's going to have to, you know, pull this money out of thin air almost.
Yeah, tax increases or anything like that being mooted or discussed?
Tax increases is like a it's like the black death for this particular government. It's reversing all of that, despite the extra costs on central government that it's been doing. The taxation, its form of revenue, it's been actually drumming down. So we did that. If we did that, in our households would be scratching our heads and wondering why we're running out of money at the end of the day. And I guess they're doing the same, Peter.
Yeah, but can they do, you know, call it a levy or something like that?
Well, the Green Party has been pushing right from the start for a modest levy to be in place for every New Zealander, and it has different tiers of when it kicks in. The National Led government has been resistant and very reticent to even talk about that type of role, but it's certainly reluctant to institute something like that. The Labor Party's position is that it should return the taxation levels to what it was prior to its tax reduction plan, so that the most wealthy in New Zealand pay more than their current rates, but more a fair share of what's required, is the way the Labor Party puts it. The government here, the National Led government, has been borrowing significantly, I think we've mentioned a number of times on your program, to balance its books, to the point at one stage where it was averaging $380 million a week. And extra borrowing to keep the country afloat. So the economy here has taken another dip, and then certainly a kick in the gut, if you want to put it crudely, by this announcement. For many, they're saying it's no surprise that this has blown out. There were initial estimations around $4 billion, but there were also others saying, you know, others, learned people saying, no, that could easily be doubled, and I've been proven right. From the point of view of popularity, the way the government's been handling this, it remains to be seen, but certainly from the point of view of polling for the elections later this year, the National Led government is still well and truly the most popular by a long shot. It's well over the 50% on some polls, close to 60% support, while the Labor Party drags down around the 30. So there's a big white ditch there for sure.
Is there the opportunity for Labor to use this as some kind of leverage to gain a bit in the polls at all, or what's their response been?
Their response is basically like putting out their policy where they would reverse back to that taxation position that New Zealand was in prior to the National Labor government embarking on its minimisation plan. So that's going back to readjusting those tax cuts that were given to the most rich and placing them back on the levels that they were before. That's not going to bring in enough. The other thing too is the National Labor government is making a big play now on saying, yes, no, we need to sell off half of there's a selected number of state-owned assets, mostly in the energy areas, and it's saying we need to actually flick those off to the share market, 50% of them put up on the share market. It would cap a maximum of 15% investment from offshore New Zealand, and it needs that to bring in money to help balance the books immediately next year. And it reckons it's got some sort of plan so that it's not dumping all of those shares onto the stock market and the New Zealand public would miss out on achieving full value. So there's all that kind of fun and games going. The Labor Party says it wouldn't do that, that it would institute a capital gains tax and other mechanisms to bring in more revenue instead of that short-term measure. So those are pretty much the positions and parties putting it out like a mandate, seeking a mandate from the public which way to go.
Okay. All right, Selwyn, thanks for your time this morning, and we'll get some more news from you from your part of the world next week.
Yeah, have a good holiday.
I will. Thanks for that, Selwyn. Good idea.
Okay, take care.
Selwyn Manning from scoop.co.nz. It's 28 past 5.
Considering retirement accommodation for yourself or your parents?